This is quickly becoming one of my favorite texts in all of Scripture, the Sermon on the Mount. There has never been a better sermon given. And I'm very much convinced that I don't know that there's ever been a better teaching period ever given to the world, to people, than the Sermon on the Mount. So I challenge you to keep running into it, keep reading it, keep going over it, and I think you will be blessed. And in our time, our few moments together this morning, I want us to continue running through the Lord's Prayer. As Eddie has been walking us through each week, we've kind of taken it piece by piece, and we're asking ourselves, kind of challenging ourselves, what does God have to say to us? How does He want us to be in response to the way that Jesus teaches His followers to pray? And as you remember, it begins with our Father, our Dad, our Daddy. We don't always talk in that language. A lot of times we use that language when we're kiddos. But this language that Jesus gives to us doesn't just entail a child to a son, a small child to a father, but this idea of an adult child to an adult parent, Dad. I think of the way even my father called me this morning, 7 o'clock. We were chatting. Just, hey, Dad, how you doing? This idea of we're talking to someone who cares deeply about us. But it's not just left there. Where is this Father? Where is our Dad? He is in heaven. He is holy. Hallowed be your name. That you are holy. You are faithful. You are good. You are right. You are just. You are holy. That God is not us. He is different. He is holy. So Jesus says we begin our prayer by remembering He's our Father. He has invited us to speak with Him. And yet He is more than just us. He is holy and faithful. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These ideas, these thoughts flow together. They're very closely connected. And so I find a little bit of joy in just getting a chance to carry. This is one of the best sermons you get to preach on. This is what it's all about. God's kingdom coming. Because if we follow Jesus around, anywhere we see, this was Jesus' proclamation. This was His gospel. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Turn your life around. Reorient your life that you might come under the kingdom of God. And so by way of review, I wanted to start this morning by just reminding us what a kingdom is. As Eddie even mentioned last week, it's not language we're really that familiar with. Unless you keep up with things like the royal wedding coming up, that this idea of kingdom doesn't always quite follow us around very closely. But in reality, if we look at Scripture, kingdoms are pretty spiritual things. In fact, if you have your Bible, turn over to the very first chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. And we'll see kingdoms really are a spiritual thing. The simplest definition, Dallas Willard gives this, and I really like it, but a kingdom is the range of your effective will. The range of your effective will. Basically where what you say goes. And we all have a kingdom. We all have an area, a sphere, a domain where what we say goes. And this is actually was the way it was designed to be and has been since the beginning. Listen to the words we read in chapter 1. Jump down to verse 26. And then God said, "Let us make humankind, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground." You see, we have a kingdom. God doesn't give authority to anyone else, only humans, only people, that you have a kingdom and I have a kingdom. And we kind of see this, especially early on, if you have any kiddos or been around kiddos. What's a 2-year-old's favorite word? No. Right. What's my 5-year-old's favorite word? Same word. No. Right. Hallie's learning she has a kingdom. Gabe's learning he has a kingdom. This morning, their kingdoms were in battle. Gabe had invaded Hallie's kingdom in her room, and she had gone to all this trouble to set up her dolls and her little world. Her little kingdom for her dolls was set up, and Gabe came in like Godzilla and destroyed it. And their kingdoms were at war. And so Dad had to put on his mediator hat and bring a little justice to the kingdoms. But we all have a kingdom. We all have a place in which our will rules the day. And that's a very important thing. It's a very important thing. It's a biblical thing. It's how we were created. That God says we have a place where our choice, where our will matters. And that's a significant thing. Because we've been around folks where that doesn't exist anymore. Have you watched the news lately? I've seen some places where some people's kingdoms have been invaded and their will, their say, they have no more say. And what happens to a person when our kingdom is taken away? And no longer do we have the power to influence or direct our life. That it can crush. It can crush a person. But we all have kingdoms. And we can add them together. And they make families and neighborhoods and churches and communities and cities and states and countries. And together all of these kingdoms kind of add up to the kingdom of this earth. If you read the news, you watch TV much, you see how's life in the kingdom of earth going these days? What's life like in our little kingdoms where our will goes? How's your kingdom going? How are things in your kingdom these days where what you say and what you will happens? Well, Jesus tells us that there's also this sphere, this domain, and Eddie helped unpack last week, called the kingdom of God. And it's where the range of God's effective will, where what God wants, what He wills, happens. And we've been talking about it. Your kingdom come, God, your will be done. That's your kingdom. Happens. Jesus goes through the Sermon on the Mount and we see little snippets of what is life like in God's kingdom where His will reigns. We don't have to do much, just turn a page back, turn a page forward and listen to the kinds of things that Jesus talks about in the kingdom of God. How do people deal with anger in the kingdom of God? See, in God's kingdom, it's not just a place where murder is avoided, right? But rather where people are valued, where reconciliation is pursued. In fact, when there's a problem, before we even worship, we go and we reconcile, and then we come to worship as brothers and sisters. That's what life is like in the kingdom. It says in marriage is in God's kingdom. It's significant. It's not just about avoiding adultery. It's not just about avoiding sleeping in the wrong bed. But he says, rather, we value other people. The way that we look and the way that we think about them matters. How our heart is, it matters. That people are valued in God's kingdom. How we give, how we serve, what we do. Those things are all significant in the kingdom of God. Well, Jesus will tell us a whole lot about His kingdom if we follow Him very much. Just even a little further down in Matthew, Jesus tells us, we see the story where Jesus' followers, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's the greatest? Remember what He says? He invites a little kid. The greatest in the kingdom, you have to be like one of these kids. Now, did He say that because kids are just naturally humble? No. Can I get an amen, parents? No. No. Kids are not naturally humble. Why would He say this? Well, because in that status, in that time, kids had no status. There was no status. They were simply just property, if you will. That's why, in fact, the disciples would block these parents who were bringing their kids and say, get those kids away from him. He doesn't want to be around them. Right? They had no status. They had no influence. Jesus says, that's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to be like one of these kids. What does that mean? Where status and power and influence are not important. People are not measured in the kingdom of God by how much influence they have with their neighbors. They're not measured by how much money they make, how successful they've been in their business world. That's not how life in the kingdom is. He tells us another story in Luke 14 about this banquet where these invited guests don't show up, and so the master says, well, you go out and you find the lame and the broken and the hurting in the city, and you go find it, and the slave says, we've done it. Master, we've done it. They're here. and we still have room. And he says, well, then you go find more and you compel them to come in. Jesus says the kingdom of God is this place where we are constantly on the lookout for others, where people are invited in. They're brought in. Jesus says it's not measured by how successful they are. We don't look at their job title. We don't study their tax accounts or their funds. But rather, everybody's prized. Everybody's valuable. Nobody looks unattractive, because how we see people is through the eyes of God. If you've been with us for very long, you know we've just come out of a series on Romans. And Paul talks about the kingdom in Romans. In fact, over in chapter 14, he says, you know, the kingdom of God is not about a list of rules. It's not what we eat, not what we drink, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I mean, imagine this for a minute. Imagine a community where no one ever cuts another person down. We don't speak down to another person, never intentionally say something to harm someone. Or imagine a place where there's never an anxious thought. Imagine a community that's known that there's never an anxious thought, as Jerry helped us think about this morning. We don't worry about those things because we're in the hands of a magnificently competent God. Or imagine a community where each encounter is marked by joy. Jesus said, this is life in the kingdom of God, and it's available. It's here. It has come. And you are invited to live, and anyone who wants to can live in that kingdom. You just walk right on in. And Jesus has this plan. And he lives it out. He says, I'm going to bring what's happening up there, up in heaven, God's kingdom, I'm going to bring it to earth. I'm going to make what's happening up there happen down here. And I'm going to invite anyone who would want to partner with me, who would want to join in that, who would follow me to devote their lives to the very same thing. And so he teaches them how to pray. And notice how he teaches them how to pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Powerful is your name. Faithful is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. And remember, it's not just a spatial, a certain specific geographic location. It's a spiritual thing. It's the reign of God. Your reign, your rule, your will come on earth just like it is in heaven. In my job and in my family and in my marriage and in my school and in my neighborhood, that your kingdom, your rule, your will now rule the day. I don't know if you grew up this way, but there were definitely seasons, at least in my life, where prayer was not prayed like this. In fact, it was maybe more described like the Star Trek prayer. These things on earth were so bad. Lord, what did they always pray to Scotty? Beam me up, Scotty. Just get me out of here. Right? Lord, just beam me up. Beam me up. Get me out of here. But Jesus never teaches his followers to pray this way. You'll never find that. Jesus always prays, Lord, make what's happening up there come down here. Lord, make what's happening in your kingdom come into my kingdom, into my life. And I think this is crucial that we understand this point, because if not, then a couple of things happen. The most is we spend our lives chasing our own will, trying to make our own will happen on earth. See, Jesus' teaching here reminds us that we are active agents in the process of the kingdom coming. That not only did Jesus say, I am here and I embody the kingdom life, but I'm inviting you now to play a part in this. And Jesus took this very seriously, this idea of God's will reigning even in his life, his existence. Jesus talked about this a lot. We see in Matthew that his will, praying for God's will to be done, was very important. It was crucial. Just even a little later on in chapter 7, we see Jesus talking about this idea that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That the prayer that he is teaching us to pray is not just something we would confess with our mouth. He says, but only the one who does the will of my heavenly Father. Not everyone who calls on me, Lord, Lord, only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And again, as we were reminded just a few minutes ago in the garden, Jesus prays a couple of times, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but you want. My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." See, the prayer that we pray in the Lord's Prayer is not just something we confess, but it's actually something we live out, and we're invited to follow Jesus. In fact, Jesus doesn't invite us to do something that He is not first willing to do Himself. The second thing, if we're not intentional about developing this attitude and this life flowing out of the kingdom, is that we end up chasing our lives and frittering away our life on the very things that people who don't know God chase after. You notice that? In the passage that Ruth read for us just a few moments ago, listen to the questions that people worry about. What will I eat? What will I wear? What will I do? What kind of job will I have? What kind of name will I make for myself? What kind of success will I have? Jesus says, the pagans run after these things. See, the challenge is if we don't understand this basic principle that we're invited not just to pray this prayer, but to live this prayer, then we spend our whole life chasing after the same things that people who have no relationship to God chase after. That there's no real difference in the lives that we live and the lives that they live. Now, stop again and ask ourselves, is there any truth to that in the world today? Do we see that in the life of the church, in our own lives? That somehow the differences between us and the culture just stop being so significant? I get a chance to work with couples, marriage therapy stuff. You know where the divorce rate is higher, in the church or out of the church? In the church. The kingdom of God says, in marriage, in the church, we submit to one another. We love one another. We serve one another. That shouldn't be right. That shouldn't be the way things are. And yet, it happens. It happens to the best of us. So the challenge comes back to us to say, okay, Lord, your will be done in my life. Your kingdom come. See, the irony is if we don't live out the prayer, then we end up chasing after the very things that those who don't know God chase after. And so Jesus says, your Father knows what you need. In fact, even before He teaches us to pray, before He even teaches us to ask for things, He says, your Father knows what you need. Instead, seek first the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Be kingdom bringers. And these other things will take care of themselves. See, Jesus had one gospel, the availability of the kingdom of God. And He modeled it in His life and in His miracles and in His death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave. His one command was to seek first the kingdom. His plan was that all His followers would extend this kingdom. So we get to ask, why did Jesus heal people? You ever wonder that? Why did Jesus have a ministry of healing? Because in the kingdom of God, there are no sick people. And Jesus said, Lord, make your kingdom come here. And so I'm going to heal people because life in the kingdom is free from sickness. And why did Jesus raise folks from the dead? There's no death in the kingdom of God. Jesus taking the kingdom of God and bringing it to earth. Why did Jesus reach out to the poor and the marginalized, the disenfranchised, those on the outside of society? Because in the kingdom of God, everyone matters. Everyone has value. And so Jesus living out God's kingdom on earth, and He invites us to do that. So church, this morning, may you hear the invitation once again to be kingdom bringers on earth. You see, every time that you're tempted to gossip to that person about someone else, but you choose instead to go to that person and reconcile, that the kingdom is coming a little bit more, that God's will is happening on earth as it is in heaven. Every time you're coming to some money, and you're tempted to spend that money on yourself and selfishly do something, and yet you turn around and you give sacrificially to someone in need. That's life in the kingdom. And the kingdom breaks through just a little bit more. And the will of God happens on earth just a little more the same way that it happens in heaven. So the challenge for us today is not only would we pray this prayer, but would we live this prayer? Would we hear the call once again to live out God's kingdom coming, His will being done in our lives? You see, He intended the church to be the vehicle that His kingdom would come through. It began with Christ as the embodiment of the kingdom. He lived it out. And when He ascended into heaven, He gathered His followers around and said, "Now I want you to go and to take this kingdom into all the earth." And so this little group, this little community, this little beachhead, if you will, was established in Jerusalem. And then one happened and popped up in Philippi, and then in Corinth, and then Thessalonica, and over to Rome, and just began to grow. And then, not so long ago, around 1847, a little beachhead popped up here in Austin, Texas. And since that time, men and women, just like you and me, have been praying that the kingdom of God would come, that His will would be done in this place, on this corner, to these people. And today, we have a chance to join our faithful brothers and sisters in Christ to continue that prayer and that life. And so would you, as we come this morning, and stand and sing together.